Like, we can end early if we want. Don't worry about it.
We can't end early, sweetie. That's against the rules.
Let's just roll with
it. So, we're recording. I want to first say, my name is Todd Adams. I'm with Zen Parenting Radio. And welcome to Zen Talk number, I don't know.
Okay, this is something we have to talk about at the beginning of every podcast we do.
Why?
Quit saying that.
Which part?
Zen say Parenting. I don't know. And pop culturing, you always say, this is number, I don't know.
But so I don't. You're basically telling me to lie.
But just don't say, this is number. You're in autopilot.
But
so
what
you
if
say,
somebody is scrolling through their podcast feed and they don't know what number this
but
is?
But you don't say what number it is anyway.
But if I did, then it would make sense. All right. So we just got this in the mail. It's a catalog for 1440.
Oh, are we in this one?
We're on page 49.
Oh.
So, you just, 48.
Oh, we just got a little box.
So, I don't know who this clown is. Who is this clown? Dave Evans.
Dave gets a big page.
Dave gets a big page. We get the little one. So, my goal is to be...
Dave is so special.
Yeah, Mr. Dave. He's selling Design Your Life Retreat.
Is it the same weekend as ours? Oh, yep. He's competition.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I see. And actually,
let's start trolling Dave.
The Heart of Communication is also there that weekend. So we got a lot of competition.
We don't really think it's competition. We're all
Oh, it's
it
competition, sweetie. I'm going to be counting up the number of attendees in each class.
That's exciting. Okay.
Okay.
Look, I have all sorts of letters next to my name.
What about my letters?
I know, your letters aren't there.
Oh, no.
Okay, let's go.
So we don't have any questions. We have some things that we're going to share with you. First, I want to just talk a little bit about my experience at Chipotle. I've decided that I need to start getting extra cheese on it because they accidentally put extra cheese on it, and it was three times as good.
It was delightful.
It was delightful. And then the other thing about Chipotle is that they have salad dressing that our friend Manisha Lozier told
us
about.
Introduced us to, yep.
If you ever want to like just spice up your burrito, you want to get the salad dressing, and they give you an old plastic cup, and then you just pour a little bit of it in for each bite, and it's simply delicious.
It is. I don't know if it's super healthy for you, but it's really good.
I think
good.
It's healthy. It's tangy spiciness.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So she's got some things to share, but if anybody has any questions, challenges, anything they want to just throw out there, we're all on board. So you can either put in the chat box or whatever.
Where's the thing I printed out for you? Oh, the question. Oh, it's on here. Okay. So I wanted to share, there was a question on the Facebook page, and I thought it was like a good one for, you know, that I wanted to make sure everybody heard just in case they're not on the Facebook page. And it's it said, when I speak to my daughter, when I speak firmly to my daughter about something she needs to do or not do, and I've usually asked several times already, like put your shoes on or brush your teeth so we aren't late to school. She has taken to responding, you didn't say please,
mm-hmm.
which of course makes me want to say, I am your mother. I don't have to say please, but I've refrained from doing so. And how would you address this? I did explain later to her when I wasn't mad that when I'm speaking firmly, it's because I need her to do something and I've already asked several times, blah, 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 blah. But it didn't feel comfortable. The whole thing didn't feel comfortable to her because she felt kind of like her daughter was talking back. But she also does have a point about saying please. And I wrote something really briefly about how I think we used to talk about this a lot on Zen Parenting, but that the words please and thank you, that they tend to be a little overused. Which I know can sound kind of funny, like, you know, how can you overuse
remember that
polite words?
Ron Swanson would always say please and thank you in one sentence.
Please and thank you.
And when he was making a request, as if you're going to do what I'm about to
Correct.
Say, please and thank you for doing it.
If Ron Swanson asked me to do something, I would follow.
Yes, him. Yes.
So basically, it's not that this is kind of like a nuanced thing where it's not as if you're like, I'm not going to say please or that you get angry about it, but please is reserved for like, let me say it the other way. When she's asking her daughter to put on her shoes, she's not asking her to do her a favor. She's saying this is the next thing that needs to be done. And it doesn't really necessitate a please. I mean, it's okay. Like, here's the thing. I don't want you guys to be like, oh no, I'm saying please sometimes. I shouldn't. this isn't something you need to get really caught up with. But if you're trying to make a statement or you're trying to remind your child that they need to kind of keep going, you don't need to be saying please a lot. You say, it's time to get your shoes on, or I need you to get your shoes on because we're going to go. It's a little more of, you don't have to get angry, you don't have to yell, you don't even need to raise your voice. And that's why I wanted to talk about this versus just typing it, because tone is so important. There's a difference between getting angry and yelling and having a firm tone of voice. And I don't have to think about this as much as I used to when the girls were little, but I remember when I would shift to more of a mom voice, which was, you know, maybe I'd be kind of having fun or just being kind of light. And then I would really stop and say, now what's happening now? We need to keep going. So you need to put on your shoes. And I'm not like, please. It's because I'm really not asking for a favor. I'm saying this is the next thing. Does that make sense, the difference?
It does, but I feel like I'm about to say something that upsets you.
Okay, go ahead.
And maybe the author of this question, why don't you just say please?
Because it, the way that her daughter is asking, it feel you could, but
I just feel like that way she has one less thing to criticize how I'm asking about. Like, take the path of least resistance and say please. Now, I think with the
she doesn't feel right about that, though. That doesn't feel good to her.
But there's no harm in saying please.
There isn't. But if you were asking the girls to put their shoes on and they're like, you didn't say please, would you be like, you know, it depends on the mood you're in.
For sure.
Like, I could see us being in a funny mood and going please. You know, like, it's, there is no hard and fast rule here. I just think sometimes, I think it's okay in the process to teach our kids, especially our daughters, that they don't have to chronically say please and thank you.
And why did you just differentiate between boys and girls?
Because girls, I mean, I think that boys oftentimes, maybe unconsciously through our parenting or through society or culture, are given permission to be a little more, not abrasive.
Disruptive.
No, it's like where they can just show up a little more boldly with expectation. And there's a little more, like with girls, we teach them how to be kind and how to say it nicely. And we don't teach them how to say it meanly. They don't have to constantly, it's similar to, you don't have to always apologize.
Before I get to Sean's comment, which I think is a good one.
Okay.
The one I want to just, say to whoever wrote this, that it's great that she says, you didn't say please, which of course makes me want to say, I'm your mother, I don't have to say
please.
But
she doesn't.
But she doesn't, so she caught herself. So I just want to acknowledge that that she's catching herself.
Correct.
Before she says something that goes sideways quick.
Correct.
And I'm going to make Sean talk instead of type. So hold on. Unmute.
Sean, you didn't actually give me a prompt to ask me if I wanted to unmute or not.
I know. It's too bad.
This is an interesting point. I mean, this happens between me and my spouse, my partner. She's very bossy. And so sometimes she forgets to say please. Uh-huh. And I'll be like, and? So, because I'm a please and thank you guy.
Yep.
And so it's just interesting that. Do you feel, Kathy, do you feel any differently when it comes to spouses?
Well, I think it's interesting. I'm not in the room with you and your wife when you have these conversations, but I think that probably your insistence on the word please isn't really about the word please. It's about the way she's asking you does not feel, because if she was like to say the same thing, but then use the same tone when saying please, like if I said, Todd, go clean the kitchen, please. Mm-hmm. It still would feel, it's not the word please, it's that the way she's saying it to you, you feel a little bossed around. Mm-hmm. And so it's really more, you're saying please to kind of make the point of, that was a little bossy, but that word won't really fix it. Really, it's like the expectation is, and again, I'm not concerned about you too, you know, like this is not, it's not like it's this serious issue.
They seem okay.
Yeah, I think they're all right.
How many years you've been married?
26.
And is this, has she always kind of sometimes said not said please, or is this a new development?
Never says please.
Well, and that can be kind
so it's
of.
Like, you know, it's like she's sitting on the couch and I'm getting up. Get me some pretzels. Oh, all right.
Do you think she treats
so it's laziness? So it's laziness on top of
bottom. Yeah. Does she treat you differently than if it was a coworker and she says, "Get me some pretzels"? Would she have said please if it was her coworker, or would she not have asked her coworker for the pretzels?
No, I don't think. No, she would have asked, but I don't think she's not. She doesn't use please very often.
Right, and yeah. And this is very, you know, it's very personality focused. Like if yeah. she is a 1, a 6, or an 8 on the Enneagram, it's just not something she probably feels she needs to do. Because it doesn't fit her, you know, personality. She's not walking around saying, please do this for me. She's saying, I have an expectation. And that is a personality type.
So
let me say one thing before you bust in, is that the other thing is this is a different conversation depending on the hierarchy of the relationship. That when your child demands that you as the adult say, please, it's a very different feeling than a spouse kind of joking around and saying, please. Like I could see me saying that to Todd sometime or vice versa, because there's a flat hierarchy there. You should be on the same plane. But with your child, even though I know we're all soul to soul and everything, I'm not changing my opinion about this. But the truth is that there is one person that is more in, you know, who is directing the day, a little more in charge. Yeah. And to have, and it's all about, like, if the kid was like, Mom, it'd be so much easier if you said, please. Okay. You know, that's something we can talk about. But I think in this note, she's saying, you didn't say please. And they're, the way
snotty.
It's written. She's,
it's not.
Yeah, the kid is, but I am compelled to say please to my kids, no matter the situation, because I want them to use it as well.
Did she say please to your kids?
No. No.
So let's take it off. Let's take it off Lisa and Sean for a second. You talked about the Enneagram. Mm-hmm. We're kind of trying to tie that into a few Zen talks. You're like, if you're a 1, a 6, or an 8, you said, but shouldn't everybody have these normal courtesies that we use in our society, which is please and thank you, regardless of what number they are?
Sure. Well, I'm not saying because you're a 1, you don't have to use it. I'm saying the personality type of a 1 doesn't think of it the way a 4 or a 2 or a 9 does. Mm-hmm. Like you, a 1 is a little more like, let's go, we're heading, you know, we're on the way, or an 8 is a little more of a, you know, there's a challenger that's demanding. And then a 6 is a little more like they don't think it's needed. Mm-hmm. They're skeptical about it being even a necessary thing that we do. And here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like I want to make sure that I say this right, because I think those two words are fantastic. And I think I use them and possibly overuse them. But I think when they're used as weapons to make us do something, we can teach our children that sometimes a request is being made that is not about me saying, please do this, but about, this is something that needs to get done. I'm not looking for you to do me a favor. This is something we need to, and then there's nuance in there. Like there are times when just because of our personality type, we want to use it. But I kind of feel like in this specific situation, her daughter is using it to push back. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's like, we're not going to like, you know, hammer down her spirit, but we're also not going to be like, okay, please.
Yeah. Let yourself get manipulated.
You know, I hate that word, but I will use it.
Why do you hate that word?
Manipulated.
Do you think it's overused and when people use it, that the person actually isn't manipulating somebody?
I think
somebody?
I've heard too many parents say to me, she's my child is driving me crazy. They're manipulating me. And I don't think that's what children are doing.
Do we need to give people permission to manipulate us?
What do you mean?
I mean, isn't there like an Eleanor Roosevelt quote? Like, you need to give somebody permission to
offend you.
Offend you. Can you use the same idea for manipulate?
Maybe. I think manipulate's a little bigger.
Yeah.
Like, for example, part of the reason I don't love the word manipulate is, speaking of the Enneagram, because I'm a 2, a very like preschool, kindergarten.
Real quick, what is a 2 like?
A 2 is a helper and a giver, and a very immature 2 uses their giving to manipulate people. And meaning that there's a little bit of strings. I'm going to help you, you know, so you, And then there's an expectation of now you're going to treat me a certain way. So there's a manipulative quality in it. And I've always, we've had discussions about this. I just don't like that word because it's a very, I don't know, just makes me go like, you know, like it's hurt. You hurt people with it. Do you know what I mean? That everything that you're doing is to get something back.
Mm-hmm. Or to, you're accusing.
Yes. So this is like my stuff. We don't need to dive into.
No, let's why dive Kathy into doesn't Kathy like Adams' stuff.
No, but I do want to add something else to this step because this, and as you can see, this is really like, I don't have like an absolute, like Sean's point is really good. Like, why not just use these words because they feel good? And Todd's like, why not just use it? You can, this is what's kind of fun about parenting. You can try a lot of different things. It just depends on your kid's personality. If your kid is more likely to listen because you use the word please and thank you, by all means, like make your life easy. But if you feel like your kid is trying to like one up you or be kind of a smart ass, sorry, Tatum, I swore, or be a smart aleck, sorry, baby. Then you don't want to, you want to say something like, this isn't really, it's something I'm asking to do as a favor. I'm saying that we need to move things along. And also somebody else on the page, I think it was Amber or somebody said that whenever their child is saying, what did she say? I'll read it to you guys. Go ahead for a second if you do have anything else to say about that while I play.
I have nothing to say about that, but I will plug something that we have going on tomorrow. I guess this would be a commercial.
Okay.
There is a micro community call tomorrow for the Team Zen teens and tweens.
Okay.
And I think it's at 2 p.m.
Okay.
I might make it, but I might not. But if anybody is interested in that, 2 o'clock tomorrow, and you go to the Facebook page and get all the information.
And teens and tweens, so it's anybody who wants to, and you can just kind of sit and listen. It's kind of like a Zen talk or a Team Zen talk, or it's, you know.
And speaking of which,
here it is.
Today was the second of a two-part interview with Dr. John Duffy.
It was really good.
And he is going to be on with us sometime late this month or early next month.
We don't have a date?
Not yet. I wanted to give people, because the book just came out on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to give the Team Zen people some time to absorb the interview.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I tried to play some of it on my way to drop off Cameron at Tumbling, and she said she didn't want to hear us talk.
Yeah.
So I said, it's not us, it's John Duffy.
I know.
She said, I know, but you're talking too.
Yeah, they don't like to listen to the show, and I don't blame them. They have to hear us talk all the time. They don't want people at school say things to our kids like, my mom listens to your mom's show, and that's got to be annoying.
Well, what I say to them is, people spend some of their hard-earned dollars to hear mom and dad talk. You get to hear it for free, and that doesn't help at all, but it doesn't stop me from saying it.
I don't think. So let me just read this. I'm going to paraphrase it. This was from Amanda talking about the same issue with please and thank you. She said, one thing that stood out about your post was that this seems to happen most often when you've already made this request several times. I also have a smart boundary-pushing daughter, and when she was younger, I found myself given requests over and over, especially in the morning while trying to get her out of the house. What helped me stop making so many demands and requests was instead asking her questions. For example, instead of put on your shoes, brush your teeth, I would say, what else do you need to do so we can leave the house?
I remember that post. That was a good one. Amanda knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, and she's right. Like basically what she's describing is you give it back to them rather, because the whole please and thank you thing is like, put on your shoes for me, please. And even though we're not really doing that and doing that sign, there's a sense of if you do it while you're doing it, do it for me. And that's a really easy thing for kids to come back and be defensive about. Like, I don't want to do this because you want me to do it so bad. I'm not going to do it. Versus what else do you need to get done? So it's theirs. They take responsibility and we're more of like the ringleader, like, you know, rather than the one who's saying, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. We're more like pointing out or bringing to their attention, what are the things you need to do? Now, of course, for kids who are much younger or for kids who maybe their organizational or executive functioning is still developing, you can make a list that you put somewhere. These are the things we do in the morning. You can put it on the door. You can have like an area where they can like check things off. Like I remember when my niece was like in second grade, and they were helping her organize before she left in the morning, she had a checklist where she'd be like, I have my backpack, I have my lunch, I have my, and she could just check it off herself. It was her responsibility. You remember that?
I do. Maddie Cakes? A little behavior modification for Madeline Marie.
Well, I guess it's behavior modification, but I think it was more like organizational skills.
Sorry, organizational skills. That's what I meant to say. By the way, new team member, Gail Trieger, just said something that I thought was kind of interesting regarding the John Duffy interview. In today's podcast, he talked to us about identity traffic and VSCO. Now it's funny. I was there at the interview, but I forgot what was
said. I brought
up
VSCO.
You did. Mm-hmm. But I just Googled VSCO in the Urban Dictionary. You want to hear what it says?
Well, no, you pulled up VSCO Girl, which is a different thing. VSCO is the actual app on the phone that kids use. VSCO Girl is kind of like a new way of describing somebody who does certain things. Kind of like a,
Why don't you first explain what the app is, and then I'll explain what a VSCO Girl is.
So you guys all know what Instagram is, right? You know, where you post your pictures and then people like it or they comment underneath it. VSCO is very similar to Instagram in that you post pictures, but it has their app is a little more upgraded where you can do a little more to your pictures to make them really beautiful. And if people like them or comment on them, it's hidden. Now, what that means is then if you look at, like when I look at JC's VSCO page, I can see all of her pictures and it's like this beautiful collage of pictures, but you can't see who liked it or who commented.
So it removes the popularity contest from it?
A little bit. Now, if I click on one of her pictures, it'll turn over and you can see anybody who liked it and commented. And people can also pull your picture to their page. So if you like post a picture that's really good of a friend, they can pull your picture to their page. So it's a little bit of picture sharing too. So that's what the app is. According to my daughter, my oldest daughter, she likes it better than any of the other apps. And she likes photography, so maybe she just likes how she can work the pictures. But then VSCO Girl is a different thing.
VSCO Girl, this is in the Urban Dictionary. She wears oversized T-shirts or sweatshirts with Nike shorts, has Vans, Crocs, Birks, and wears a shell necklace. She also wears tube tops and jean shorts. She always has a hydro flask. She can't leave home without a scrunchie, and her favorite car is a Jeep. I think we have some VSCO girls in our family.
Well, and this is what's funny
is this meant to make fun of people?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know,
somebody's making fun of my daughter.
Yeah. So what's funny is this describes my children. They don't have a Jeep, but all the other parts.
Casey wants a Jeep.
I know, but what's funny is she doesn't want it. She's like, well, I do VSCO girl stuff, but I'm not a VSCO girl.
She is, according to the Urban Dictionary.
I just think those things are very common. The other
thing,
you
know what I think? I think it's white suburban girls.
You know what else is big in here? Brandy.
Carlisle?
No, that's the singer. Brandy Melville. Brandy Melville clothes are really big for girls who are like 10 and up. And that Brandy Melville is a really big part of the VSCO girl thing too. So it's like, I guess I'm okay with Brandy Melville, but if you go to the page, you can only get a small. So it's not
very...
What
do you mean? They don't mediums or larges?
Not really.
What is that?
That bothers me a little bit.
So there's only one size? Well, is this an inventory management thing?
This is what we always buy for our nieces too, Todd. This is what we always get for Claire and for Madeline because they love it. It's like kind of this LA-based...
Is small like the largest size?
Yeah. For some of them, it's a little bothersome.
All right. We're going to check it out. We're going to pretend we're going to order a blouse.
Like a Haley top and all the...
we're going to get a Haley top.
And so it fits extra small and small. See? So like it's a little yucky because you can't wear Brandy Melville unless you're a certain size. So it's just by the size, it's exclusive. And so it's kind of gross. But it also...
And they probably are worth $1 billion.
No, they're cheap. The shirt is 18 bucks.
A company.
Oh, a company, yeah. A company's worth a lot of money.
And yet we support them. And it's made
in China. My nieces want it. My daughter, you know.
Do our kids have Brandy Melville stuff?
They have a few things, I think, yeah.
Small and extra small. I got a problem with that. I'm with you. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
People come in all shapes and sizes, for goodness sakes. What are we teaching these young ladies?
Yeah. So... That's part of being a VSCO girl too. So that's like that's some language for you guys to.
Do they have Brandy Melville stores at like?
In LA.
In LA, but not like around here.
Not that I'm aware of.
Mm-mm. Oh boy.
I know. Okay. So if you guys don't have any questions, and like as far as like these things that we talk about on the show that our children introduce us to, and I know some of you have much younger children or much older children, Sean, that may not really want to talk about VSCO with you.
He needs to know what VSCO is.
He needs to know. But if it's kind of fun to bring up with your kids. Do you know what Brandy Melville is? Do you like it? Do you want a VSCO page? Like, I don't think Cameron has a VSCO page, and Skylar can't do social networking.
Well, and I didn't even finish my comment. Gail said that was so good. I learned what VSCO is, and that launched a super fun conversation with my daughter after school.
Absolutely. That's why, you know, that's why I really like Duffy's podcast, the two we did, because we talked about a lot of things that are very current right now. And so it gives you an opportunity, if you address it correctly, where you just ask with curiosity and not with how many people are smoking weed, you know, with no fear and just curiosity, it can open a good question.
For those of you who happen to live in the Chicagoland area, he is speaking on Thursday night at Lyons Township.
Yeah, for free.
And I think I might go.
Okay.
So if anybody wants to hang.
We have something on Thursday night.
We do?
I think we do.
I don't think so, sweetie.
We do. Somebody just texted me and emailed me something. About.
Nothing. We got to sign up for the parent-teacher conference.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. We have to sign up for parent-teacher conferences. Okay. So, so anything else that anybody, like, you know, even if you don't have a question, is there something you want us to talk about? Is there something you want to hear before we switch gears to something else?
Before we transition to something else?
I want to say something about the conference for people who I know, I think everybody here is coming. I know Nikki probably can't come because she's so far away, but,
Nikki, we'll give you a break because you're in New Zealand.
But for, other people who are going to be listening to this afterwards,
nobody else gets a break other than Nikki. Everybody else should be there.
Everything is just really coming together really nicely. And I've gotten some good recommendations for people at the conference.
It's coming together beautifully.
The most fun part of the conference is that we create this kind of structure, these like bones, where we get these keynote speakers.
And when she says we, she means her.
We do it all together. And then then all of a sudden these things start to come, like somebody shows up or someone introduces us to someone or I get an email about something this is the magical time where just magical things happen. And it's fun. And it also gets frustrating because I get nervous, but it's mostly fun.
Nervous in the service.
Okay. So I'm going to just share some fun things about your Enneagram number. So does everybody here know what they are?
Does anybody, if you know what you are and you're comfortable with it, type it in the chat box.
Yeah. Tell us what you are if you want to.
I will tell you what I am. I am a 3, which is sometimes referred to as the achiever, but also sometimes referred to as the performer. And when I heard those two words, I'm like, no, I want to be the achiever and not the performer. And I was going to say something else. Oh, and the words that describe the numbers are less important than the number themselves. And even the number themselves isn't a good, accurate description of who a person is. But it's at least an indicator of what it is that we value or don't value.
We've got some 2s and 3s.
Gail's pretty sure she's a 1, but it's close tie with a 3.
Yeah. Right. And there's some similarities.
Oh, and you got a friend in Lindsay, sweetie.
I know. Lindsay's a 2.
I'll bet you the conference is stacked with 2s.
For sure. For sure. And Peg hasn't probably taken it, but I'm sure she's a 2.
Peggy, you're going to take it over Christmas break. It's going to be our family test.
And Sean, are you 2, 7, 9, meaning that those are the ones that are highest for you? Yeah. Okay. All right.
So he's a 2 and then a 7 and a 7. Okay. And then a 9. All right.
So as long as we're just talking about the people who are here, like this is about what your house looks like. Depending on what your number is, this is what your house probably looks like.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Ready. Let's do this.
This is kind of fun. So again, 2s are emotionally demonstrative, possessive.
Why are you starting with 2s? Let's start
because
with
because there's 2s and 3s.
Oh,
and
I'm on the call.
And 5, and I'm gonna go over the ones that
got
are
it.
Here.
So we're rewarding the people that got on.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
So people giving, people pleasing. They want to create a home somewhere with loving energy, warm energy. Okay, so a place to retreat to, which is funny because Peg's house actually says retreat in certain places. Not only for themselves, but for the people they love. So they make their home not just for themselves, but for other people too, which I can definitely relate to. So it's sometimes very minimalist, but it has a lot of sentimental clutter.
Yes.
Which is totally our house.
Yes, that's true.
And Peg has a whole wall in her house of Cubs stuff. So it's like sentimental. It says clutter, but it's like sentimental.
Is Peggy
good
a two?
Stuff. I'm sure Peggy's a two.
I'll bet you she's a two.
Okay, so I'm waiting for the internet to restabilize.
You sound very scientific when you say that.
I know. So it says, if you're a two, your home is filled with photographs of loved ones, objects to accommodate like people during visits, like extra blankets, and things to nurture, like plants or animals. Twos prefer round shapes, which is funny because we have a round rug and a round.
Yes.
Yes, we have a lot of round.
I love round stuff.
I know. There usually are earth tones, lots of yellows, blues, and greens. My whole house is green. Unpainted wooden coffee and dining room tables, whatever creates a cozy feeling.
Oh, that's actually very accurate for you.
I know. I'm very aware. Speaking of like big words, I was on a plane this weekend and the pilot, it was the worst. What's the word where we bounce up and down? The worst turbulence I have ever experienced. It was so bad I wasn't afraid. Does that make sense?
No.
Like, it was funny. Like, I was on my computer and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't even type. I can't stand turbulence, but it was so bad that I'm like, there has to be like a reason, right?
Yeah.
And so the pilot finally came on and was like, well, everybody, it just looks like the atmosphere is not really cooperating with us today.
Did that make you feel better?
No. I was like, okay, which means are we all right?
Oh, if
he went off.
If he's talking, everything's fine.
But what do you mean the atmosphere is not cooperating with you?
It means there's air pockets.
Pilots should not tell people something's not cooperating.
First of all, we have a friend who's a pilot. His name is Jason Samadas.
I know.
And he explained to you what turbulence is.
I know. But Jason was not flying the plane. There was some random pilot that told me the atmosphere was not helping.
But you've already figured out that turbulence doesn't matter.
Well, it was pretty scary. I couldn't type. Okay, so this is how threes want their home.
Three, this is
so
me.
We've got some threes
I'm
on here.
I'm a three, so, and Gail thinks that she's a one, but a close tie with a three.
Okay, so threes are ambitious, achievement-oriented, energetic, competent. This type focuses on an interior design aesthetic, which feels just like the person you'd want to see in a public place, like an office. So you want our house to be more like an office. Or there are some threes that like their home to feel like it's out of an IKEA catalog. Hmm. So a good example of this is, he's using something from American Psycho here, but that the house is tidy, empty surfaces, deliberately chosen decorations, structured, organized. This isn't you at all.
Well, I don't like clutter. I don't mind if something is literally dirty, like if there's dust on the floor. I just want to be able to walk around without stepping on stuff.
But your socks are everywhere.
So if there's a ham sandwich in the corner of the room, that...
You'll eat it?
No, I don't eat meat anymore, but I don't mind it as long as that there's no like grime around. But if there's stuff everywhere, it doesn't matter.
Right. I'm the same way. Clean house, but if things are sitting, I actually don't like stuff out. I'm lying. So type threes are likely to have status objects in their homes for viewing. Like when we had your football trophy on the...
Yes, my fantasy football trophy, which I only won once in like 10 years, but it was a good season.
Yeah.
Gail says that this... That's me. Describes her.
Good. Very tidy, empty surfaces, decorations. And it says, if they want to project, if a three wants to project a more spiritual image, they might furnish their home with crystals, flowers, and candles. So that's
I think this is written,
Is this like astrology?
Well, I think everything is like astrology and that
Sean's nodding.
You can always like
find yourself.
You can always find yourself in anything because there's so much room for interpretation.
Well, maybe this is just another way.
And that's
of looking.
Like the whole wing thing. Like I believe in the Enneagram. I believe it has wonderful value, but I also will tell you that the minute you introduce the wing thing, which is I'm a three with a two wing, then there's so many open possibilities. You can fit yourself into any of those.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, like I'm a Taurus, but I was born on May 1st instead of May 15th. So I'm like a Taurus /
You weren't born on May 1st. You were born on
I'm
May 3rd.
I'm making stuff up, sweetie. What's before Taurus?
I don't remember.
What's the April sign? Anybody know what the April sign is? So it doesn't matter. Then
Aries, that's JC.
Yeah. Aries. So mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lindsay. They're like, or thank you, Gail.
So like, they're like, oh, well, cause I don't think of myself as a Taurus. I don't know how we got on this, but
Tauruses and Leos aren't supposed to live together. I'm a Leo.
Yeah. Like, what does that mean? That doesn't make any sense.
And I remember I got scared when Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan, cause one of them's a Leo and one of them's a Taurus. And then they got divorced and it scared me because I'm like, that's what Todd and I are. That was like 20 years
that's
ago.
That's what you call rational fear.
It freaked me out.
That was a joke, by the way.
All right, so I'm just going to at least do five.
I just talked about Dennis Quaid today in the car with Cameron because she said, is there any famous actors that you think are just genuinely bad actors? I think Dennis Quaid fits that. I don't think he's that. Give me one really good Dennis Quaid role.
Far From Heaven.
Never seen it. Give me one that I've seen. He did the, where he played the piano, the guy, who's the piano guy?
I don't know.
He lights the piano on fire.
Oh, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis. He was terrible in fire. That. He's terrible in that.
Okay, so back to, I'm okay with Dennis Quaid, not Randy Quaid, but I'm Dennis. Not.
Randy Quaid is an actor, I'll tell you that right now. Eddie from Vacation. He's so good, he can't do anything else because.
Okay, we're not giving them anything.
Sorry,
of,
go ahead.
Of, this is pop culturing stuff. Okay, so fives, because somebody's a five. That is Nikki's a five. So type five are cerebral, perceptive. Then they're minimalists, with the exception with objects that reflect special interests. So it says type fives have a different type of minimalism, though. They don't do it to feel in control like a type one, or to create a certain aesthetic like a type three. They choose to do with it. They choose to do it because it means less effort and having more. Generally doesn't occur to them. They want to be constantly downsizing in all areas of their life, less obligation, less to clean, less to deal with.
I like this. I like five.
I think you're a three, but you've got a lot of five in you. Kind of like how Sean said that 2, 7, 9, like you're a thinker too. Jessica's a five. You've got a lot of five. Like, look at this. This is you, Todd. They could completely buy their kitchen at Kmart. Or, you know.
Where else would you go?
Home Depot. Well, some people go to nice places.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Okay, so type five homes are furnished and clean, but are sometimes cold and empty. So, anyway, that's just some, like, fun information.
Sean says breaking away, the right stuff.
There you go, breaking away.
No, wrong on both. Both not good.
I have never seen the right stuff. But I know Breaking Away,
the biking movie.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if I've seen that one.
Okay. If nobody has a question, I wanted to share one more thing before we go.
Go ahead, my darling.
Okay. So this weekend I got to go away to New York with my friend Manisha just for 24 hours. And this is how this happened. She called me on Thursday and said, Jake Gyllenhaal, who I love, that's my love. My second love.
Yeah, easy.
After Todd.
Easy.
Yeah, he's second. And Manisha knows I love him, so she's like, Jake Gyllenhaal is doing a play here in Broadway that's really good. She's like, I'm going to be in New York this weekend. Why don't you just fly in for a day and come see it? And I literally didn't even think about it much. I was like, okay, I will go. And again,
you probably looked at Google Calendar first.
I looked at Google Calendar first, okay. But the... Todd, we had some miles, so I didn't have to pay for my
Thankfully,
ticket.
Thankfully, because my first look was going to be $499, and that I was really ready to pull the trigger. And you know how something, it was like 4 days away.
Yeah, that's the thing. She asked me on Thursday.
And the miles get removed, you know, the good flights always get removed like 6 months out. So I'm like, there's no way miles are going to work. And I think American Airlines is something between O'Hare and LaGuardia where it's like every hour.
It is. It's 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, and all the flights are full. And they are like international flights. Like there's nobody I sat next to spoke English. The couple next to me were an Italian couple. And then there was around me 15 people who were Hasidic Jews. You know, where they like have they dress this the way that they do, and they were speaking a different language. And then on the way home, everybody I sat with was, this is where sometimes I'm not sure what the nationality was, so I'm not even going to pretend I know, but New York flights, it's like, it's America. Do you know what I mean? It's everybody. Like
a little bit different than Elmhurst?
Very different. It was, I loved it. It was really like, I felt like I was in the middle of like, you know, just a much more, it felt like New York, right? So I went to New York and I got to see this really good play, and it was all about fatherhood. And I really wished Todd was there. It was two long form monologues. The other guy that Jake Gyllenhaal performed with was this guy named Tom Stoddard, I think his name is. And he's a Tony Award winning actor. He's very well known on Broadway. He was new to me. But he gave a whole thing in his story, and then his ended. And then Jake Gyllenhaal did his story. And it was all about fatherhood and about our relationship with our parents and our children. And it was really beautiful. I cried a lot. And I wished Todd was there because he probably would have appreciated it even more than I did. But it really isn't about that. I wanted to say, like I said this today on the 1440 page, for, you know, for the moms and dads who are listening right now, it's really important that you leave your house sometimes, even if it's just for a little bit of time. And I know many of you will say to me, I'm too busy, or I can't, or I'll get behind. And I understand that. I understand that a lot. But I also think you can't solve problems unless you get out of the mindset of where the problems are. Sometimes when you are, when we're like at home and we're like, there's so much going on, everything feels overwhelming, which it does. And I'm not denying it. It does. But when you get out of that environment, you see, it's really not that bad. You see that it's manageable. And it's like the, you know, the Einstein quote of, you can't solve the same, you can't solve a problem with the same brain that created the problem. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but sometimes you need to get out of that environment. What I have found is that sometimes I'll do something like get away for an hour, or go away for 2 hours, or go away for a night, or not a night, but like a night out. But sometimes that's not enough. And I know for those of you who are single parents, or you have a husband who travels, or a partner who travels, I know that's not easy. And so I don't want to say that everybody can go buy a plane ticket. I just really want to,
well, you don't have to go get on an airplane. No. You could go to the other side of town. You can go visit a girlfriend. You can go to the Hampton Inn somewhere for like $75 just to get outside of your own routine.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly trying to get somebody to do that, but somebody feels like they need to be with their kids for some reason.
And you.
Well, and me too. But, you know, we spend plenty of time apart because I travel. But
yeah,
you
Todd's
don't,
gone a lot.
You don't spend nearly as much time away from these young ladies. And I have said to you, it actually sometimes helps when you're not here, because then they have to go to the big guy. But if Kathy's anywhere close, then I'm a little bit lower on the priority list. Where's mom?
Where's mom? Well, and I think that there's like,
I got a dollar for every time one of my kids said, where's mom? I would be a rich man. You know what? I'm a rich man, not in money, but in love.
Okay. So one more thing about this is that there's also the expansion of like the more spiritual dimension of getting out of the house, which is that our lives are bigger than just what's going on in our home. And that we have to remember that, like, and that we can't, you know, we can't always fly to New York. It's not like I do that all the time. But we have to remember that there's more than just what's going on in our four walls. There's also, you know, there's a world out there that we can participate in, and we don't have to wait till our kids are 18 and gone. Like, we can dip into it and pull the goodness out of it and bring it home. But when we're stuck in a cycle at home where we're just running as fast as we can in our house, it's hard to get new insight. It's hard to be calm or zen in any way. It's hard to, Todd's watching baseball.
I have a feeling
Todd's watching baseball.
I think Peggy is watching Cubs, and I just wanted to say what the score was before we hung up.
You weren't listening to my good thing.
No, I wasn't listening because I want to see what the score was, and it's 3-1 Reds. See, Peggy just gave us a thumbs down.
Peggy gave us a thumbs down.
Peggy's listening to us, but watching not Anthony Rizzo, because Rizzo rolled his ankle yesterday.
And Javi's got a bad thumb. Or is he bad?
Drew Brees is a bad thumb, and I think Javi also has a bad thumb.
He hurt his thumb. Anyway, off the base. All I'm saying to everybody is, like, self-care is a real thing, and it's not just about the traditional self-care. Sometimes you've got to go for a day, and you know, everybody who's listening, encourage your partner to do the same. If you've got a partner who already travels a lot, then I know that's not necessary because they're already getting out and getting into a new mindset. But I think sometimes when I do something for myself and I realize what a difference it makes. And again, now I'm back in the crazy routine. It's not like it lasts forever.
How long did it take you to get back in the routine?
I don't know.
I picked you up at noon. We went to Potbelly's. I got this really good flatbread. You don't like flatbread for some reason. I don't know why. And then by the time the girls got home at 3 o'clock, she was mom again.
Yeah, but that's okay because I'm a more expanded mom. Like I just feel a little more like I remember what I love.
You gotta
I remember
get out of mom mode.
I got to see Jake Gyllenhaal and he was this far from me. He was right here. He looked at me. He totally is thinking about me right now.
I think that he's not that good looking.
Oh.
That's all I got to say.
I say to that.
And Sean said hot question mark. Not,
yes.
More like not hot.
Duh. Like.
It's the little kid from City Slickers. That's all I got to say.
It's you don't know things.
I know
Jake
lots
Gyllenhaal.
Of things about okay. Jake. He's in a bad movie that we turned off. We were at Peggy's house and it was.
Oh,
where,
Zodiac.
Was it Zodiac?
Yeah, wasn't it?
I thought it was another one where he
plays
like a bad cop.
Yeah, I didn't like that
he's
one.
He's an investigative reporter.
Reporter, journalist. I didn't like it. Yeah. I didn't say I loved everything he did. I said he's good looking. And I also just, my last comment on this is I got to stand in line with Gloria Steinem.
You should have said,
no big deal.
Should have said, hey, my name is Kathy. Let's be friends.
You know what? The only reason I didn't talk to her, I did say hello to her and I, you know, was
you
like, kind of get, well, we kind of did the, like we all did the, like it's Gloria
what did you
Steinem.
Do exactly I'm Gloria you're you what did you do
we were like
that's what you did that's not high
okay this is why Manish and I had both read this article in Vanity Fair that said people who live in New York love New York because people don't bug them because everyone's over the fame thing. So I was trying to be a New Yorker and be over the fame thing.
But you're from Elmhurst.
I know, but I didn't want to be like not cool. I wanted to like
I wouldn't mess
cool.
with her either.
Yeah.
I love not messing with famous people.
I know. And she was with like her friends and she was like low key and she sat two rows in front of me. I stared at the back of her head and thought about I would not be doing what I'm
you
doing if
just,
it wasn't for you,
you
woman.
You should have just plucked a hair and then brought it home with you. And said, this is Gloria Steinem's hair.
Smelled her head.
Yeah.
Feminism.
Is there any person that you would not be able to stop yourself from saying hello to? Because if you have the capacity to hold it in with Gloria, it seems like you'd have the capacity to do it with almost anybody. Because she's as important to you as anybody. Except for maybe Oops.
Oprah. I will meet Oprah. It will happen. Someday.
I feel like you're Stuart Smalley right now. I'm good enough.
Okay.
I'm smart enough.
Well, I feel like we did not do a good job with the Sin Talk because we just talked about
nothing.
They
don't ask questions. We're just going to jabber.
Well, the one thing I will say about Oprah is I've been super close to Oprah because Todd and I got to go with Shefali a lot. So we've been on Oprah a lot with her. But we didn't get to like
we were
talk
this
with her.
We
and Shefali's like, Kathy and Todd, come on. We're going backstage. We're going to go meet, talk with Oprah and get a picture. And I was like, oh my God, it's about to happen. We went backstage with the producer and we were standing there and they're like, oh, Oprah got called away.
No, Oprah went home. Oprah decides if she's up for meeting people.
Shefali had it planned. She was like, come on. We were in the back of the stage.
She said that there was a possibility, but Oprah, she didn't get called away. She went home. She was done for the day.
So speaking of, just a few things for you guys to know, on our show, are you keeping secrets about who's going to be on our show in the next couple weeks?
No, I'm
okay.
Let's tell them.
So we got a bunch of people coming on. Julie Lithcott-Hames is going to be on our show in about a week.
Who's that?
She was one of our speakers from last year's conference. She's coming to Elmhurst to our high school to talk. So we're going to interview her that morning. Mm-hmm. We have the internet connection is unstable.
Let's wait for it to restabilize.
Okay. Rachel Simmons is going to come on our show
maybe.
In the next couple weeks.
Isn't she a maybe?
She will. It just might be a Zoom call.
Who's that?
Rachel Simmons is our speaker for the Zen Parenting Conference.
Okay.
And then we have Rob Bell coming on our show.
RB.
In 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
He's in town at the Park West, so we're going to go hang out with him.
We're going to chill.
We're going to chill. And then there's one more person. Julie, Rachel, Rob.
That's it.
There's somebody else.
We're having a hard time because we've done Duffy the last 2 weeks, so we haven't done a podcast, and we got...
And next week we have Julie. We're doing that Monday morning, so that's what we'll play for Tuesday.
Wow. Maybe we should push Julie back.
All right. Well, maybe. But we got a lot of good stuff coming, everybody. So if you have questions, sorry that we talk pop culture so much here on this Zen Talk.
I'm not.
That's not usually what we do, Gail, especially because Gail's new. We usually have, we answer a lot of deep things.
Yes.
But for tonight, this is what we got.
Next Zen Talk will be a noon kickoff. I don't know what day yet, but we do one in the evening and one during the lunch hour. And hopefully it works for as many of you guys as it can. So I'm going to go ahead and unmute everybody at the same time. And now we're all unmuted. And let's just say goodbye, Team Zen.
Goodbye,
1, 2, 3.
Zen.
Goodbye, Team
goodbye,
Zen.
Team.
Goodbye, Team Zen.
Keep trucking.
Good peace.
Good. Peace out. Peace and love.
Peace and love. And